You're now listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. A Place of Refuge vision is to cause people to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. For more information, please stop by our website at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Now, here's today's message already in progress.
Last night we dealt with John 16 and 13, where Jesus said to his disciples that when the Spirit of truth comes, that he was going to guide them into all truth. And we took it a little further in that we recognize that there are benefits when it comes to truth. Truth, first of all, is that which sanctifies. And to sanctify from a basic standpoint is to just set apart theologically to be used by God. But when you consider sanctification in totality, it's when God causes you to be made into the person that he has ordained for you to be in order for you to fulfill your purpose. But then we also considered John 14 and 6, where Jesus identified himself as the truth. I said he identified himself as the truth. And when you look at the ministry of Jesus, he had truth not only in one aspect of his life, but he was actually the embodiment of truth. Simply because truth was so embedded in his being that he did not even allow things, people, demons, and such coming against him to stop him from fulfilling the will of truth. Because truly he came to redeem us. And he would not allow anything or anybody to stop him from redeeming us because he wanted us to have truth. And so Jesus gave himself in order for us to come into truth. He didn't want us to be blinded by the enemy. He did not want us to end up in hell, but he knew in order for such not to take place that we would need truth. And that's the reason he boldly said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But then we also understand when it comes to truth, truth has creative power. Because Jesus said in part in John 8, 31 and 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth has creative power. It makes you into something that you presently, well, that you were not in your past. Some of us know point blank that we are new, but the reason we are new creations is because of truth. Truth changed us for the better. When we heard about the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life, according to Romans 6 and 23, it was then that truth caused us to go to the altar and ask God to forgive us, not just for one sin, but for all of our sins. And God not only forgave us, but then he baptized us with the Spirit of truth. He baptized us with the Holy Spirit because he wanted us, according to Acts 1 and 8, to receive power from it in order to be his witnesses. And when a person has the Holy Spirit and becomes a witness for Jesus, the person has miraculous testimonies. Testimonies of how far God has brought them. Watch this. How many by the waving of the hand can say in truth that God done brought you from a long way? Oh, you're not what you desire to be, but you sure ain't that raggedy person that you used to be. Ain't no need in frowning at me. You know you used to be messed up from the flow up. Tell somebody he talking about me. Because I used to be messed up. I was raggedy. I was doing everything that the Bible said not to do. I was in sin. I was deep in sin, headed to hell until I heard the truth. And so when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, you are a witness for him. People can see point blank how God changes lives for the better. You are a witness in that you think, talk, and do according to his written and revealed will. You are a person that was on the wrong side, but now you're on the right side. You are a person that used to live by sight, but now you live by faith. Yeah, you live by faith. You are a person that you come to church to get faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And you know you can't get your faith just from any old body. It has to be a person that God has put the Spirit of God on the inside, that has been anointed to feed you exactly what God ordained for you to have. Because God will continue to fill you with his Spirit in order for you to be the witness, not only in the church, but outside the church. Because he wants you to show forth his glory, to show that the Holy Spirit is not something fictional, but the Holy Spirit is real. Matter of fact, how many can just tell somebody, I know the Spirit of God is real? Oh, tell one more person, I know the Spirit of God is real. It was the Spirit of God that led you to your job. It was the Spirit of God that led you to that woman that would soon be your wife. It was the Spirit of God that led you to the right church. It was the Spirit of God that told you when to get your car, that told you when to get your house. It was the Spirit of God that did something for you when you didn't have a dime in your pocket. It was the Spirit of God that blessed you from your crown to the sole of your feet when you didn't have a rusty penny in your pocket. It wasn't nobody but the Spirit of God. Tell somebody, the Spirit of God has been a blessing to me. I don't have to be senseless anymore. He guides me into all truth. I don't have to wonder anymore. He tells me what to do. He is an ABC type of spirit. He is a 1, 2, 3 type of spirit. He guides me into all truth. How much truth? And that's the reason when you as a child of God know the necessity and the significance of the Holy Spirit, it bothers you. When people do what Paul said not to do. It's very clear here in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. Don't quench it. when you quench, literally speaking, you extinguish or end something. You end something. As a human being, God created you as a free moral agent. You have a choice. God didn't force you to come to church tonight. It was your choice. You are a free moral agent. And when you take that right and say, I'm going to end the relationship that I have with the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Truth, that's when you quench it. He's not talking about taking some water and throwing it on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is too powerful for any element to put him out. But because God gave you the right to say yes or no to him, you can sever the relationship with a spirit that's been better to you than you've been to yourself. And there are folks, despite how good the Spirit of God has been to them, they have the audacity to set up, cut off, sever, or end the relationship. And they'll try to give reasons as to why they don't do it or why they did it. And many won't even consider that what they're doing is that they're cutting off the relationship to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit tells you point blank, a place of refuge is your church, but you get mad and leave, you have quenched the Spirit. If you are in a service and the Holy Spirit tells you, leap for joy and give me some victory turns, and you decide not to do it, you are quenching the Spirit. If the Spirit of God tells Pastor Jackson to preach Isaiah 1:19, that states, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But because it's Easter, he decides he's not going to preach that, but he's going to deal with the resurrection. He has officially quenched the Spirit. If you are too proud to get something right with your brother and sister after the Holy Spirit has pricked your heart and told you to do so, at that moment, you have quenched the Spirit of God. If you have been baptized battling in your body, but the Holy Spirit tells you, get up and leap for joy, even though you hadn't leaped in 10 years. If he tells you to leap and you decide not to leap, at that instance, you are quenching the Holy Spirit. And 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says to you, child of God, quench not the Spirit. Some of y'all look like y'all ain't listening to me. I need some help right now. Will you help me right now by preaching or telling somebody, quench not. The doctor has told you that there is no hope, but on your way out of the doctor's office, the Holy Spirit tells you, I'm going to heal you. I want you to turn around and look your doctor in the eye and tell him what I just said. And if you refuse to turn around and tell your doctor what the Holy Spirit just told you to tell him or her, at that moment, you are quenching the Holy Spirit. Gotta move on, but say the two more four. Quench not the Spirit. There is basically one word or I should say there is point blank one word I want to deal with when it comes to folk that quench the Spirit. One word. Foolish. If you quench the Spirit, one word. Foolish. You may not be a fool, but you are in the seat or the place of a fool. Therefore, you are acting like one. And you can be in the church, but thinking, talking, and doing foolish. You can be in the pulpit, on the deacon's board, in the choir, on the praise team, and be foolish. Foolish. A foolish person is first reckless or irresponsible. Responsible people are accountable. But if you're foolish, you think you can do what you want to do. And that's how you say it, but you are irresponsible. Reckless. Foolish people can be up in age, been in the church a long time, but still childish. A foolish person is childish or immature. Still want to get mad about what he or she has no business getting mad about. When you're foolish, you won't do according to 1 Corinthians 13:11. When Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I did like a child, so forth and so on. But when I became a grown person, a man, a woman, I I put it away. I ain't got no business acting like this. I'm just going to stop today. She done made me mad for 15 years. She ain't making me mad today. I'm done with that. These folk been having me getting pills and taking them for 5 years. Now, I'm tired of taking pills on because they acting crazy. I'm done with that. I've been worrying myself, and I can't change nothing by worry. I'm done with it. This doctor tell me something different all the time. I'm done with him. Before he messed me up some more. But when you're foolish, you continue to do that which is irresponsible and immature and try to justify it. Because foolish people are selfish. The psalmist said in Psalm 14 and 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then a fool will get to looking around at everybody else and start pointing the finger. That fool in Psalm 14 and 1 say, ain't none of them right. But Paul was talking to the church of Thessalonica. He was telling saints not to quench the spirit. He was telling folk who know better not to quench the spirit. It's praise service and you acting like it ain't you. It's revival and you acting like it ain't you. You. And so in order to deal with folk who are foolish in the church, we have to consider Galatians, the 3rd chapter. Verse 1 and especially verse 3. Paul was on a roll in reference to asking questions to a church that was acting foolish but knew better. And I don't want to tell you all my business as a pastor, but that's one of my main jobs. Telling folks to quit doing something that they know better not to do. I have to spend an hour with some folk telling them not to do what they already done been taught not to do and should know better. I have to talk to pastors sometime about doing something they have no business doing and they know better. It's just like this person that I stay with ate up the peanuts. My peanuts. I put them in my special place. And when I went back to get my peanuts, and I knew it was at least a third of the can left. To my surprise, the can was empty. But whoever emptied the can put it back as if it still had peanuts. I'm gonna leave it alone, but that person knew better. And so Paul asks questions to the Galatian church. He starts off by asking, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? This is Galatians 3:1. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And then he went on to say to them, this did not come from the one that called or chose you. This was not God's doing. But what I really want to talk about in Galatians 3, in reference to our text, is in the third verse, when he continues asking questions. But he says to them, are you so foolish? And this is what gets me. Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Romans 8 tells us that when you're in the flesh, it is impossible to please God. The implication to the Galatian church, are you trying to tell me that you can be perfected by that which does not please God? Are you that foolish? You want to try to justify what you're doing? Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? And then get off the path and go in the flesh. A portrait of the Laodicean church. When God said to the church of Laodicea, I wish that you were either hot, on fire, or cold, refreshed. I want you to either be in a place where you're being refreshed, cold, or whether you're hot on fire. But because you are not being refreshed, nor on fire, but lukewarm, I gotta spew you out of my mouth. My word for you is not pleasant. My word that comes out for you is not something you're going to be happy about. Because my wish is that you either be hot or cold, on fire or refreshed. Because sometimes we need a refreshing. Like the eagle, in order to get our strength back to the place God ordained for it to be. But they had begun in the spirit, but ended up in the flesh. It's amazing you have churches that used to be on fire. You go in that same church 15 years later and it's dead. Y'all better hold on. I'm going to ride for at least 60 more seconds. There are saints in the church at Carrollton, in Thomaston, in Noonan, even in some of the connection churches. You go back 3 years ago, those same folk could be called fireball. You come in asking, where's that fireball on the deacon board? Where's that fireball on the praise team? And whoever you ask, you say, oh, you talk to my brother so-and-so. There he is over there. That's him. Oh, you talk to my sister so-and-so who used to? Yeah, where she at? That girl could know she could dance. Where she at? There she is. That's her. A woman that used to allow the Spirit of God to have his way in her life. Still in the church, but dead. A brother that used to be on fire, still in the church, but dead. A pastor that used to be on fire, still pastoring, but dead. Say to your neighbor, you can't quench what was given to make you lively. Jesus said in John 6 and 63, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It is the
spirit
that gives
life.
The flesh prophets. Then he dropped on them the words that I speak to you. A spirit and life. The spirit is what gives you the energy it's going to take to beat on the devil. To put enemies on under your feet. The spirit is that's going to help you become better in every aspect of your life. It is the spirit that's going to help you fulfill your purpose, fulfill your destiny. It is the spirit that's going to help you raise your children. It is the spirit that's going to help you love yourself and others. It is the spirit that's going to make sure you get your heart's desire. It is the spirit that's going to help you when you get to going through trials, tribulations, and such. It is. Why quench something that God gave you? Help you. Why quench somebody that God put in you to protect you, to comfort you, to guide you? Why quench it? Don't quench it. Say to your neighbor, you got to embrace him. embrace him for what God said he was put in your life for. When he, the comforter or the helper, has come, he's a helper. How you gonna get over trials if you quench him? How you gonna get your heart's desire if you quench him? How in the world you're going to fulfill the destiny that you put down on paper as your vision if you quench him? Maybe you gotta have in you, that you're not going to quench the Spirit. Ask one more neighbor, is that in you? Shout your answer.
Yes.
And I'm done. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.